transformational metaphors. My favorite. So throughout history, human beings have told stories. And there have been some great leaders that have been great storytellers in our time. Most of the mystics and the religions of the world, most of those people that those religions were born out of, were all great storytellers. Whether you're Christian or not, you know, Christianity is probably one of the biggest religions on the planet. I'm not particularly Christian by nature. I'm a bit more generic than that. My spiritual thing is a bit more rounded than that. It takes in, you know, I like to believe in all of those religions in some way, but at a higher level that's not human, has enough human face in it. But whatever you think about Jesus as an example, you know, his teachings are still around. I'm pretty convinced he was a person, real person. And if you think about it, he didn't go around teaching people by, you know, preaching, really. What he did was he went around and told stories. Now, when he wanted to recruit more disciples, he didn't go to the current disciples and said, right, okay, guys, what we need to do is you need to go out there and recruit some more disciples. He didn't do that because, first, they didn't have a reference to what recruit meant anyway. So he used the metaphor. So he said, what I want you to do is I want you to go out there and I want you to become fishers of men. Now they can get that, see, because they can do fish. And they go like, okay, I get it. So here's what we do. We'll throw a bit of bait out, get a bite, and then we'll reel them in. And that makes sense, you see. I can understand that. And one of the greatest, certainly from NLP point of view, greatest storytellers in therapy was Milton Erickson. And Erickson, what he would do is he would have somebody come and see him, and they would explain what their problem was, and he would gather information in the first session with them. All he would do is gathering information about the problem using various language techniques that you've already heard over this last few days. And then what he would do is, it would appear if you've read Erickson's books that he suddenly came up with a wonderful metaphor. That didn't work like that. What he actually did was he had them go away. And Erickson would spend about a week literally creating his metaphor, which may last anything up to half an hour to deliver, or even sometimes just a few minutes. And sometimes he would actually act some of those things out rather than just actually tell the metaphor. He'd actually act them out as well if it was possible. And then the person would change, just like magic. Because the way it works is that metaphors are for the unconscious mind only. Because your unconscious mind works in symbols, which is, if you think about it, like a dream, it's all symbolic. Actually, that reminds me of that dream last night, funny enough. I think about it now. Yeah, it's really weird. I had something going on. I was like, had a £5 note. I think it was a £5 note. And so I had this ability to pull it like it's on an elastic band. I don't know what the meaning of this is yet. But it was like a fight. Like I was pulling it. It was like there was a tension like that. And as I let go, it went and shot out my hand really fast just over the top of someone's head. And you know what it was? As I think about it, it was like, when everyone was, loads of people in the room, it was like I was creating magic. And then other people was coming up and they were doing their magic. Other people were coming up and said, oh, let me show you this trick. And there was lots of cards and they were like throwing against my chest and they were just changing into various different things. And I woke up this morning about 20 past six. So the unconscious mind understands the metaphor and the conscious mind doesn't. It doesn't matter that the conscious mind doesn't understand because it's entirely for the unconscious mind. So the way it works is the story captivates the unconscious mind. Or it rather captures the attention of the conscious mind. So whilst the conscious mind is wrapped up, focusing on the story, the unconscious mind is making all the connections at the unconscious level of what the hidden meaning is in the metaphor. And one of the ways it works is that the unconscious mind will then unravel Not necessarily whilst it's listening to the story. The unconscious mind may unravel that over the next few days. You may not understand all the meanings in that last metaphor, for example, for a few days yet. Because there are many, many, many hidden meanings in that last one. And metaphors are great because they capture, you can, they really capture attention. But look at the different, the attention in the room is very different to when it started. Everyone's like drawn in and captivated. And it's one very useful way in training of eliciting certain states in your audience as well. So you can do metaphors for a number of reasons. You may just do metaphors just to basically install curiosity in your audience, which is a good state to have for them to be drawn in. And one of the ways to do that, obviously, is to never finish your metaphor. Because, or maybe not finish it when they think you're going to finish it. Because, like, four things, right? When is that fourth thing coming, you know? Or is it five? Maybe it's five. We just don't know, you see. So it's like leaves a loop open. So if you think about it, this is how movies are created. If you ever watch a good movie, what happens is they start the movie off and they open a loop in the movie. And what happens is it breaks off. And they start another loop. Breaks off. Starts another loop. Breaks off. Comes back to this one. Starts off. Breaks off. Oh, and then another whole loop. And the whole thing's got this whole set of loops. And half the time you're going like, I have no damn clue what's going on, but you know what? I'm going to find out. So you're really drawn into the movie, and you get so associated to the movie the whole time. And of course, then at the end, what happens is they close the loops. Except sometimes they never close all the loops. Sometimes they leave one open, either because of a sequel, or just because they want to leave the ending so that you create the meaning of the ending. So it's not apparent what the meaning is at the end. It's left open for you to make your own assumption. Did it mean this? Did it mean this? Or did it mean this? And that's really wonderful when stories do that. If you're like me and you like open loops, those AD people amongst you go, oh, that was a really shit ending. What was all that about? That was bollocks. So the thing about both creating metaphors and delivering them is there for the unconscious mind. It won't make sense. It doesn't have to. It just has to be plausible. And if you think about it, your unconscious mind is like 5 or 6 years old. It's like a little brother or a little sister, because it's totally playful, and that's why they work. Because the unconscious mind goes, story, love it. Everyone loves a good story because it puts you into that state. So let's have a look now at how we can create metaphors using a specific technique to create metaphors. What we do is you have the person state the problem. This is how Erickson used to do it. Have the person state the problem, and you may want to get, you know, a bit of meta model on the problem. Not a lot, you know, just a little bit of meta modeling on the problem. Just a little bit to get what the real problem is, perhaps. Don't go into too depth with it. And then you ask, okay, great, so what do you want instead? What does that give us? What do those two questions give us in NLP? Perfect, good answer. It gives us the present state. We don't call it undesired state, we call it present state and the desired state. Yeah. So our before and after. Yeah. And then we ask, okay, great, so what stops you, or what currently prevents you from having what you want? So maybe have us recover a bit more information. You may already get that from your questioning. And then a slightly different tact, in that we find out, okay, great, so what's important to you in life? What's important to you in life? Get some things that are important to them, and also find out what things do you enjoy. What hobbies do you have? For what purpose do you think we're asking that question? What they enjoy, what hobbies do they have? So if the person loves football, then make the metaphor about football, because it'll work much better. If they're into music, make it about music. The reason that most of the metaphors that I do with groups, what I do is I use the archetypes. Anybody know anything about archetypes? Yes? We all have various archetypes inside us. A warrior, lover, magician, yeah, sage. And if you notice, most of my metaphors have things like that in them because people recognize those archetypes inside themselves, so I know that you'll be able to relate to those metaphors. And if you can make the metaphor, because you're doing it one-to-one with someone around something specific with their hobby, that's even better. So what we then do is, once we've got all that information in, we then ask ourselves, okay, good. So what's this an example of? So we chunk up. What's this an example of? We chunk up. So once we've got the problem, what's this an example of? And what's that an example of? What's this an example of? And what's that an example of? And chunk up as many levels as you feel you need to, and then go lateral. What's another example of this? Is the lateral question, isn't it? Remember? What's another example of this? You go lateral. And then come down by asking a chunking down question. Chunk down. Until your unconscious mind comes upon an idea and goes like, ah, that might work. And it'll be just like a fleeting thing in your mind, like, oh, maybe there's something I could do with that. When you get that little fleeting moment, that's the thing to work with. And what you then want to do is get in touch with totally your unconscious mind. So go completely into peripheral vision and to begin to weave your metaphor. The only way you'll be able to do this is to completely and utterly let go of the need to be able to do it perfectly. If you've got a be perfect thing going on, it ain't gonna work. Because the only way you're going to know whether your metaphor works or not is to deliver it. And notice whether the client shifts in some way by having a sensory acuity on. And what will happen is, to begin with, you'll think like you want to write it out in full. And you can do that. That's okay if you want to install it. And when you go and deliver it, you need to let go of the script. Because what will happen is, you'll end up delivering a whole different metaphor to the one you've written down anyway, probably. Because then your unconscious mind will take over and you'll suddenly come up with a whole... When you're in the nowness of the moment, you'll create even more stuff off the top of your head. So what I'd suggest you do is you do run out and thought and then do some like bullet points of the story. When I have my notes, for example, here, I just have like one words that sort of trigger off a whole series of different ideas, different tracks that take me onto a new stuff, and it's there for me just in case I get off track sometimes with my metaphor. That's what I'd suggest you do as well.